Hello there again. Welcome to yet another episode of the Season New Show. Kugonza Munyaka is my name, and I still double as the host of this show, which is basically a show where we discuss issues affecting the society. My guests are purely ordinary citizens, and here we discuss issues the way the citizenry sees them. Today's episode will feature the current mood in the society. And before we delve into that, let my guests introduce themselves.
Yes, hello listeners, it's Magezi here. It feels good to always be here and talk about the current affairs. So, thank you, hosts, for putting me in the show.
Oh yeah. Hello there, everybody. Dear listeners, it's a Dupu here. Once again, another episode. How about the Munyaka? We should maybe start getting a few of local brew kashira here. Or every minutes or so we finish.
Then it just turns into a party.
Yeah. Anyway, good to be back.
Okay.
Guys, elections are still ongoing as the electoral calendar states. It has always been a tradition after the presidential and parliamentary elections, we usher in the local government elections, which already took place on the 20th Jan for the mayoral and the LOC5. And on 25th, we shall see LC3 councillors and others being elected. But the turnout on the 20th was really, really low. Actually, in one polling station, as reported by the Observer newspaper, that is in Bumayoka Seed Polling Station, out of the 13 registered voters, 4 turned up for the presidential election and 3 voted for Museveni and 1 for Chagulanyi. And for the local government leader polls, only 1 voter turned up. I brought this up to reflect the mood of this local government election. And let's start by discussing that.
Well, I think it's just pure psychology. As human beings, we cherish or hold in high regard those we believe are better than us in every way. So if you're talking about the president, they're the big shots.
Yes.
Then you feel you want to take part in deciding who the next president is.
Yes.
So are the MPs. But now when it comes to the local government positions, you know, people feel like, these are just any ordinary sort of posts. They don't even have any money they are injecting in the campaigns and all that. They come in door to door knocking and it's like, hey, would you give me your vote or anything like that? To the people, they are probably like equals. They actually regard them as equals. So they wouldn't really, the mood for trying to participate in deciding who their next, according to them, equal is definitely low. So that partially explains the low voter turnout for the local government positions.
Okay. I think,
yeah,
these are the guys that determine the policies of the market, the garbage collection, the drainage, basically the service delivery the local government provides or the government provides. Why wouldn't people turn up to vote these guys who decide their day-to-day life?
They they're simple. To me, I see it simple. They do not respect defeat. I mean, I still respect defeat because I'm on this other side, but it's accepting. They refuse to accept defeat. So they are trying to put down their own that would bring their services to the table, to them. And it's absurd. It was really embarrassing. I actually left office on that Tuesday in the morning at around 10, went. It took me about like 15 minutes. I'm done voting and I'm back. There was nothing, any challenge. People were, like the police station was dry. I was the only one there. So I don't know what's wrong with our people to accept defeat. We understand most of the numbers that didn't turn out for voting were in Kampala, unlike those other places.
Yes.
Say in Arua, people turned out to vote their district representatives and everything. But in Kampala, I'm sorry for everyone, but they would have turned out to vote. So it's absurd. They just don't accept the defeat.
Okay. Post-election period has always shown incarceration more like a home arrest for the opposition candidates who garners more results in that very election. And Bobi Wine is no different from Kizza Besigye. The security services say this is a preventive arrest to stop Bobi Wine from rallying the masses to protest the election results or any would-be riots. The NUP, on the other hand, say that the house arrest is hindering their plans, including legal action, to contest the election results, as we have to first seek guidance from their principal. But also, on Friday this week, at 5 p.m., Bobi Wine featured live on Facebook and urged the masses to protest and refuse the election results. Let's talk about that. But again, do you see mass protests lingering ahead?
Yo, man, this is UG. And if you really remember pretty well, I think we've seen all of this. This is a sort of a replay. It's kind of a broken record. Kind of brings out the same thing over and over again. We saw this in 2011 and 2016.
Yeah.
You know, people tried to.
Yes.
But I mostly attribute that to the presence of the retired colonel, Dr. Kizza Besigye. Back then, every time he used to participate in the walking to work thing, he was always there, walking to work. And then all of a sudden, he would invite the masses and a few people to join him. But when the Honorable Kyagulanyi says the government is his retention, he is slowing down their plans, and then it kind of makes sense in that view with their plans, not the legal plans, because I don't believe all their plans have to revolve around their principle to have a case against the legitimacy of
income. Don't you think that in itself tells of the problem that we have as a society? I mean, we are not building institutions, but we are basing the institutions, they are not independent of the individuals.
Exactly, that was really my next point. So I was going to say, I think Bobi and the NUP have failed at this. They clearly haven't studied the history. This is what has happened. This is the regime's way of playing this. How long do you have to petition an election?
90 days.
90 days, right? So they hold you in retention for 90 days, and after that, you're going to be a free man to walk around as you please. Because you would have lost out the window to try and get a court case.
Actually, that is what happened to Kizza Besigye.
Exactly.
He didn't contest the results himself in 2016. It was Amama Mbabazi.
See, that's what I'm saying. These people haven't exactly learned. You know? It's the same thing. Like I told you, it's like a broken record. This is what happens every time. At least we've seen that. So they should have prepared better. You know? Because they knew this was going to happen. They should have planned right ahead. They should have planned with that in their mind. Because they always said it. They were going to lose anyway. They always said that the government was going to... I mean, they always said that the incumbent was going to rig the elections.
Yeah.
If that was their...
Actually, they said they were going to win the election.
Exactly. So
but when and the NUP said they would win the election. And basically, I was like, that would be mad to think that Museveni is going to organize an election is
for him to lose. Clearly. So basically, everything was clear. The expected outcome is what they thought of. But if they didn't plan well to have a court case without their principal, then they failed at that. I'm sorry for that, you know. They should have planned better about that. But then the other thing is, you ask whether or not we expect to see chaos, you know, violence, Iraq. That depends on whether or not their principal is visible, you know. Yes, you said he had a press conference or online, one of the live social media channels, and he urged them to protest,
refuse
the election outcome. But I want to give him props for that, because the little I had was a small news brief. I didn't watch the whole thing, but he said he urges all the Ugandans to reject the outcome and protest using all legal and non-violent means. Well, I'd like to give him a kudos for that. At least he mentioned non-violent means. Well, that's good. Everybody has a right to do that. I mean, if you don't feel satisfied with whatever has been portrayed as a result, you can protest.
But you see, it is really funny when you say legal means, or you can protest as long as you're non-violent. I mean, over the weekend we saw the police tear gas the police.
Oh.
Did you see that story?
No, I didn't.
The police that participated in the elections were demanding 7 billion from the government in unpaid allowances, and they wanted to be paid.
Right.
And what the police did, tear gas the police. Mm. So basically, I don't think there is any idea of a peaceful protest or anything like that. As long as you head out to protest, these people will stop you in your tracks.
I did not see the clip, but in your view, was the protest...
It wasn't successful. Peaceful. I mean, the police tear gassed their own police.
Yeah,
but, I mean, don't you...
So there's nowhere to hit.
So
they know what to do to these niggas. Sorry for that language.
It's exactly how it goes. But maybe these guys weren't having exactly a peaceful protest.
I think there is a time... In Serbia police barracks, they didn't have water and they didn't have electricity for weeks. And the wives of the police officers took it to the street to protest the poor standards of living in these police barracks. Mm-hmm. And what happened is the husbands tear gassed their wives for protesting the poor standards of living. I mean, like, it is really funny.
Yeah.
So I don't think there is going to be any protest, peaceful or not, that would be allowed by the government.
They can never allow that. First of all, people have already moved on. Yes. Businesses have reopened. Yes. You know, they are from the smallest trader. You can imagine a lady carrying a basket of fruits and then, you know, vending on the street, to the biggest shops or hardware dealers and stuff like that, to the banks and everything. Everybody has reopened. The last thing they need is chaos. That shows that people have moved on, you know. So unfortunate for the Honorable Chagulani, the people seem not to be exactly on his side, you know. They don't feel the same way he does, you know, because if they did, well, maybe they would have anticipated what is going to happen. They'd be like, you know what, we feel cheated. And so they would anticipate some sort of violence, and then this business reopening wouldn't exactly be as much as it is right now. But it is. And then these people are already doing problems. So any business owner does not want any sort of chaos. That just shows you they're not ready for any sort of protest. So the Honorable Chagulanyi's call to his Ugandans out there, like I said, I think will be very unsuccessful. And not to mention the defense forces and all that, they've always made it clear that they have it all planned out. Should there be any sort of uprising? Should there be any sort of unlawful gathering or violence in any way? They have it sorted. They say that. So, well, people might try,
but I doubt
they will be successful.
They have it sorted, but again, it is, to me, it comes to Bobby Wine. He didn't put people in the know. He gave them the excitement that there is they have to win the election. So that excitement, when you cut the excitement short, like not gradually, but just cut it off
abruptly,
yeah, it's a good word. Like, of course, you get disappointed. Now we have all these things coming up where Bagyeku's registration and Mwili's, they were closed, they were shut down because they were inciting violence, they were inciting people to go and start, protesting and doing all those things. So,
I'm sorry to cut you short. Did you say Bagyeku?
Yes.
NBS.
That's it, man. That's
NBS.
Yeah.
Yes. He's an interim guy.
He lost.
He's the guy who...
Remember, he lost the election.
Bagyeku lost it?
Yes. Yes. He lost it. And Mwili also lost the election.
Mwili? Oh,
yes.
Oh my goodness.
Of ANT. Of ANT. So they were inciting violence and their registrations are closed. And today, Cyprian Chizito, Dr. Cyprian Chizito Ruhanga, he said a statement in church saying to be Kwoye, like he's tired of the government, how it's treating Chagulani. For the fact that Chagulani is a Catholic, so he's trying to also say a word on his house arrest issues. So I think the violence has to come in. But again, as I had said, I think they should stick to their word of
peaceful election.
They have lost the battle, but not the war. So they are still fighting, something like that. So hearing our man coming on Facebook Live and saying we don't accept, saying after the elections tomorrow, that's when they have elected all their leaders that they had planned, that's when they'll start the violence.
Did you say violence?
Yeah, of course.
But the Honorable said it was going to be a peaceful protest and a non-violent and legal.
Have you ever told a kid not to touch the candle until he touches the candle?
But they always want to touch whatever you stop them from touching.
So, but let us discuss this. There is a voice note that was from the late Zebra, the boxer that got gunned. He said they were being paid to start these riots and the protests by the government. So it was more of like a government organizing for the protests. So basically it is not the opposition that is starting the violence. What do you say about that?
Well, that's very, very confusing.
I think we shouldn't trust these guys. I don't trust politicians. I don't. I'm on someone's side, but again, I don't trust the person.
Okay, Bobby Wine and the NUP, as they have always argued, that, you see, the government calls them goons, and they've always said they are non-violent. They don't champion violence.
Right.
So, if the NUP says they don't champion the violence, the protests, then who does?
Well, Uganda is very volatile right now. The biggest population, especially the urban areas, aren't exactly doing well. You see, most of the people in the urban areas live on a hand-to-mouth way, you know. Whatever they earn the day is what they feed on that day. And then they carry on the story like that for whoever knows how long.
Yes.
But the majority of them are that way. So, yeah, it wouldn't be surprising if the politicians were playing this card. Because violence, if a politician is prior to the election seems to be attracting too much heat from the state forces and all that, they might acquire a sympathy vote, you know, from the electorate. They'd be like, yo, what? Why are they taking our man and all that stuff, you know? It's like, yo, this guy is only trying to contest for office.
Yes.
Why must the process be hard on them on stuff like that? Maybe they would end up getting, you know, votes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I said, what happened to now the Honorable Sejirinya?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yo, man, it's crazy. But...
That's
exactly what's up. So, yeah. Zebra might have had a point. I mean, this was a decorated boxer. You know, boxing is a discipline.
Yes.
Of high integrity. I doubt anybody who was at that level would come out to say baseless stuff, unless of course there was a problem. But I doubt he must have been a man of integrity. Whoever talked about him after his passing said so. So if the guy came out to say the state was sponsoring their violent behavior, it might hold some water, you know. It might make sense, and then that would mostly associate the violence to the NUP.
Yes,
because I mean, given the history of their principle, given the history of their principle, they'll be like, yo, man, these are all the guys who
told his supporters to reject results. So it's absurd.
So exactly. So yeah, Zebra might have had a point there. You know, the state would then use that against the NUP.
Mm. But now, one would you know that this violence is caused by the government and it's caused by the NUP? When would you blame NUP and NRM?
When will I blame
NUP?
The NUP.
Yes, that they caused the violence.
So far the eruptions of this unwanted behavior have been by people dressed in attire usually associated with the NUP. If you've seen all the clips.
Have you ever seen anyone rioting and doing all that in an NRM chat? That's what I'm saying. We shouldn't trust these people. There's no way you can differentiate. If government is making these riots go on and it's serious about it, it will make those people who are rioting wear red. And then you will be like, no, these are not our people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if it is theirs, they still have a right of saying they are not our people.
Yeah,
because we know Zebra said something. So it is all politics. We just have to find a way that these guys were defeated and the guys should not incite violence into people saying they should reject the results. He was defeated. At least CNN wrote and they were saying Museveni defeats Chagulan for now.
Okay, it's pending.
Yeah. So it is for now. They also know time will come where the man will be the champion of the house.
That sounds like a premeditated move. Like they already know what is going to happen.
Of course.
They're not surprised or anything.
Oh, maybe they're saying for now. Maybe in 2026.
Oh.
Omega.
We may still have the two again on it.
But guys,
wait, did you say 2026? Do you believe the principle 20... of the NRM is going to come back to 2026?
No, I don't think.
You do not think?
No, I don't think.
I think. What's 5 more years after going through at 37 or some years?
I don't think Museveni is still as popular as he was. Because, I mean, we saw the procession that he had from Rakitura to Kampala. The streets were empty. Like, people were not on the roadside, you get. And then when he reached City Square, oh God. They were just looking at him like he was in his car. No one was minding him. So I don't think Museveni is as popular as he is. And there is also this other trend that when a president who has served for a longer time, I don't want to use the word dictator, but when the president, let's say like Museveni is going to, by 2026 he would have served for 40 years. Mm-hmm. When the president is going, he tends to be more radical than he was. And I want to cite the speech that he gave when he was, his victory speech, whereas like he's going to be more tough, he's not going to plead with anyone, like everything has to work. So I don't think he's as popular.
I don't want to believe that. You might say, well, I think the president is still popular. Everybody in the country knows who the president is.
No, I mean popular in terms of people loving him.
Well, yeah, still. There's a significant percentage of people who do love the president, you know. But the only thing is now we have this new kid on the block, the Honorable Chagulanyi, well, whose love is vast and it's always been there initially before as Bobby Wine. You get it? So right now, if you have two people who are dearly loved, almost in equal measure, I should say, by the electorate, one would seem to outweigh the other. Why was he voted? He probably has a Provendor track record. He's always preached about stability and defense.
We did a whole discussion on that man. And we fully assess him.
Because you see, people love to be peaceful. Or they would love to be secure. That's how security is a better word. So if you have someone who's ensuring security for you, in most cases, you would want to have that person keep doing that. As opposed to the aftermath of someone else who you have no idea about.
See, but you see, I don't think the youth that, okay, I don't think the people in urban areas are really that much interested in that speech or that preaching of peace. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen most of the people that, okay, most of the civil wars in Uganda, the instability has been in rural areas.
Yeah, right.
And those are the people that vote Museveni massively.
Yeah. So they know what they went through.
And
they still remember.
You know, as the country develops, as Museveni promises to transition the country into middle income status. So that means the rural areas have to be getting smaller and smaller. So that means you're creating more urban centers. So that means there is a time that that speech of we brought peace and stability won't make any sense.
Yeah, clearly, of course, we won't after a long time. When a secure country and a peaceful country becomes the norm for a long time, people will start to disregard it as a serious subject. I mean, if I haven't had any instability in the last 50 years, or for all I know, I don't remember any insurgencies whatsoever, then why? That's normal to me. My visions are now, my vision, my goals are all at different stuff. I'm looking at maybe better cars I'm driving. I'm looking at increase in salaries. I'm looking at improved life generally. Again. So yeah, it's possible over time this whole broken record sound of we brought peace and all that will phase out, and people will have moved on because they will have spent a very long time in a very secure environment, and that to them will cease to become a valid point because they're like, well, I've never seen any insurgencies in a long time. What are you saying? It's peaceful out here. You get? Yeah. So yeah, with time it might phase out, and the old man might have to think of better stuff to talk about if she should continue looking for votes, or even for votes for his people should he choose to step down sometime.
Okay, he will definitely step down. But guys, elections. But you see, on the last episode, we discussed how the NUP swept Buganda and Busoga in the presidential and parliamentary elections. But still, in the local government leader polls in Kampala here, out of the 45 seats, if I recall, NUP won 41 seats. And the NRM is still echoing the tribal line as a reason for losing the election in the central region. And we hear how the Katikkiro of Buganda often urged the voters to londe abafe, loosely translating it to let's vote ours. And we saw the Catholic churches all around the country. During Mass, the priests were urging the congregation to vote for change. But when the NRM wins in Western Uganda, it doesn't qualify as tribalism. Let's discuss this issue of sectarianism and tribalism in politics and elections. But to kickstart this discussion, I will say that Africa and Uganda are tribal states, and you expect each tribe to champion its needs. And most countries have tribal leaders in politics, and politics is rallied along tribes. For example, Kenya here, you can't completely... So what I'm basically saying is you can't divorce politics from tribes. Hey, so what's your take on this?
I'm tired of NRM wanting to be everywhere. They want to rule, take over us as if we are not people. Like, it is absurd, because NRM won majority of the seats outside Kampala.
Yes.
Actually, in the whole country, NRM has the most mayors.
Yes.
So it is, if they are complaining about tribalism, NRM does not mean Nyankole.
Yes.
So it means somehow it is also practicing tribalism inside.
Mm.
If they can have candidates who are not Banyankole in Uganda, probably they would vote for them.
Yes.
But now you want I'm a Munyoro. You want me to go in Makere and say I'm standing here as to solve all your problems. You would want me to go to Kabaka and start to incite all those, I mean to recite all those things of theirs to him.
Yeah.
If I represent their issues to them. Because that's the whole broadcast of being a leader. You have to be everywhere. Yeah. So if I'm also in Uganda and I'm seeing someone, because at this point of the LC, someone who's going to bring the services to me, I'm not thinking of him. I'm not thinking of a party. I'm thinking of someone who will do it best.
Yes.
So I'm looking at a Muganda. Who speaks to my neighbors if there is something, who can conduct a meeting quickly. Somehow, like, although, okay, let me not get into that. But if I'm in Uganda and I need an LC, it would be automatically be in Uganda.
Yes.
So there is nothing like tribalism here. Those are just excuses. But the truth is, NRM is not wanted in Kampala. So, like, we have to put that into our system.
Why do you think that? Let's mention one of the reasons for our listeners. Why do you think the NRM is not as popular as it was in Uganda?
For some reason, they left the agenda that brought them into power. Well, some of the things that brought them into power was to restore the kingdoms and all that.
But I mean, so Uganda brought the NRM into power.
Yeah, it is.
True. So the only reason is our services offered by, you know, NRM, they say they've done all the good things, but it's a pity. At least for me, I've been traveling. Some of the reasons why Baganda may hate NRM is, say, construction of roads. They construct roads. If you're going to Mbarara, you will not see Masaka Town. Like the road was constructed
away from the city.
So Masaka City. You're going to Chiroga side, the road is away from the major town.
Yes.
You're going to which other place there? Okay, whatever. Let me first leave. Those two are now.
Yes.
So if I'm also a Mugan and I make that kind of assessment, I would feel bad about this man. If he has the guts of coming and saying, in Kampala Central, I'm looking at Chairman Nyanzi, I'm looking at Muhammad Nsereko, and then there's this man of ANT, I don't know his name. He's not a Muganda though, of Kampala Central. You expect me to vote him and leave Nsereko, or give Cedric Ndirima of this thing that says Bill Gates cannot go deep down in the village, in the slums, to help people to get water. He doesn't do that. If you're well off, you're well off. Someone who's going to bring services to me has to be nearly like me.
Mm.
So it's a pity for NRM to bring out such, I'm sorry to say silly excuses, but they're not valid at this point. They won wherever they be. Let them leave our city alone. I personally, right now I can say I voted for my man. What is his name? Mayor. Rule of law. Our next president.
Yes.
Our next president.
But before I bring you in, the Northern Uganda voted for Museveni. And one of the reasons as to why the NRM says they voted for the Northern Uganda voted for the NRM is because they ended the LRL war, and there has been now some development going on. I mean, it is becoming an industrial hub, and when you compare that to Uganda, basically the NRM hasn't done much of anything.
You see, during the campaigns, Museveni used to open up markets in Gulu, where Soroti, Mbale, all those places. In Kampala, I don't see anything would open. I think one day they'll market something like that, which is also a very old thing. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the leader of LRA, Joseph Kony, is said to be dead. But a few weeks ago before the elections, we used to see those videos where he's saying he does not attack his own people, he does not kill these people. He tries to talk to Museveni, but the man is refusing. It is Museveni trying to oppress people, tell them it is Kony doing this, and for some reason, his army fights itself, and then somehow they say we've came and chased away Kony, yet the man may be innocent at some point. So, up there in Arua, services have really improved, that's the truth, because the roads have been constructed. I think some of them have never seen tarmac in those parks. They're actually parks. You know this land that doesn't have hills and everything. Yeah. So I think they enjoy putting maize on the tarmac so that it dries and all that. So if I were them, I would still want to construct a house next to the tarmac for the good of my maize and my income. So I'd vote for the man.
So basically the NRM is voted in areas where the standards of living are low.
Are low, and it's trying to put them, it's like getting me from my position right now and you give me $1 billion to move.
Yes, yes.
Of course I'll buy a Porsche car, which I've not actually read about or done anything, and I start to live that kind of life. So a man who has been struggling to have a polythene to put his maize on to get dry, his coffee and all that. Now he has a tarmac. No, imagine having a tarmac and a car passes there, like two cars pass there, say a day.
Hey.
So it is absurd.
So basically, the only traffic on the road is the maize. Let's bring you in.
I don't want to believe that tarmac story.
You should.
I don't believe it's true at all.
Have you ever gone to Mbale? There's this road, yes. Mbale Tirini.
Yes.
Tirini Toro Road.
Yeah.
It is as clear as F.
It is as new as.
It is very new. I think they even mopped the place.
Well, to get to that, get back to the point. We were discussing, we talk about tribalism and
sectarianism in politics.
Right. So, yes, it's true. The last election, especially in Buganda, theirs was for their own. You know, what they say is they were voting for their own. So, you can consider that tribalism, right?
Mm.
Clear. And then for the other parts that voted for the NRM, you would argue. The north and the east for voting for the NRM, and yet the flag bearer of the NRM isn't from any of those regions, it's from the west. You would probably want to disregard that as not tribalism, but I might want to defy on that, because you see,
you want someone of your own that knows your values, your needs.
So first of all, these guys have already had a extended service delivery, like Tumu Haise put just a few seconds ago, and that's a valid reason for them to vote for the president. But then again, they knew about the wave of the National Unity Platform.
Yes,
and they must have been. I believe the NRM used the term tribalism to decampaign the NUP.
To bastardize the NUP's win.
Right. So basically, these people in the north would rather vote for the incumbent
rather than
vote
because
for
of
Uganda.
The history of Obote and
exactly.
Uganda.
So all that is tribalism to me.
Yes.
In fact, the president garnered all those votes in the north because of tribalistic issues.
Yes.
So basically, it played for him well, but he's right though to denounce it, because it isn't good for a growing country like ours.
Yes.
You're right to say that our country is largely it has a very many different tribes and all that. So it would be really hard to have. In fact, they told me none over the tribes in Uganda constitute more than 78% of the population.
Yes.
And you can see how hard that is. Everybody feels they want to have their own. You get, but the president keeps on denouncing these acts of sectarianism and all that, you know, because at the end, given our differences, we still all have shared needs. You know, we all need the healthcare. We all need the good school.
Poverty doesn't know whether you're Mtoro or not.
Exactly.
Healthcare doesn't know whether you're Mtoro or not.
Exactly. So just like the president, I do denounce the whole factor of tribalism. It would only take us back, you know, and yet we've moved on. You know, we in fact the president is planning to expand. Like the vision, his vision is a single unit of the East African community, yes, as a bloc, and that wouldn't exactly play well with tribalism and all that stuff coming at play.
Mm-hmm.
You get, but then again, when it comes back to the Uganda region, as to why they exercise tribalism in voting at the last election, it's clear these people are tired of not getting the share. The yes. People, yeah, but they've had industries. The biggest
share on the national cake.
Exactly. They, but there are industries in Masaka. I mean, in Kampala, like it or not, they're more than they were previously. Like more than they were like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been mushrooming industries. Yeah, Mukono, all the industrial yes. areas and all that. It's in Buganda.
Yes.
You get.
So all the Veka Peka.
Right. Yeah, we've had them, but still, these people chose to vote for their own. And the reason is simply not because of service delivery. I mean, yo, Kampala, the heart of Uganda, right? This is where all top-notch service delivery is.
Yeah, 80% of our economy is here. Exactly. 99% of ministries
all
are here.
All the top services and all that are functional, you know, in Kampala, which is in Uganda. So you can't exactly tell me these people haven't received services from the government. No way. But the reason they chose to vote for their own is because there are people in the NRM, all of them from the same region, who take the share of the national cake solely, like, by themselves. These people, we see all these things in the news, in the media, it covers them all that. Like, you know, people are impeached in a graft, and they want to beautify theft with certain terms that don't exactly paint the bad picture, but yo, still it is theft. They want to say graft, whatever.
Corruption,
you know,
yeah,
but it's theft of the public money and theft of public resources. But whoever has been implicated in any of these things, at least the ones that made headlines, I can name them,
yeah,
all from the same area. So when it comes to earning, when it comes to the big boys, you know, when it comes to the guys who take the big share, it's tribalist.
Yes.
When it comes to voting for one of your own, then it's a problem. You see what I'm saying? So basically, I think even the president is being showing double standards here, because it's only his guys who take the stuff.
I mean, yeah, he has these arguments which are childish.
You see, you'll never hear a Muganda or some guy from Alur, you know, implicated in a stealing government stuff. I mean, government funds of high magnitude like the ones from the West.
You see, it's a pity for us who sometimes love the government. You reach a point and you are sure of what they're bringing them.
I mean, you fail to defend your own.
Yeah,
but exactly that. So, in brief, these guys voted the way they did because of that. They feel they are not sharing, and they feel these guys are just taking away. Okay? What otherwise would have belonged to everybody? But you know, they still take it in their small cliques, and even when there's overwhelming evidence, people are set free. Yes, you can imagine. You know, it was clear in the interim primaries. This the Honorable Rukutana, I think.
Yes.
Was having an AKA, but with him.
By the way, he lost in the general election.
Yeah, he lost in the general election, and then taking shots at some guy. Yes. I even heard the guy died or something. I don't know.
We did follow up.
Yeah, but okay, there was initial
there was evidence that he shot.
Exactly. And then there was initial action on the guy. At one time the president even came out to say they should deny him bail. But the guy got bailed out. And right now he even went and contested for the parliamentary seat of wherever.
The funny part is he's a civilian, and when Chitata, another civilian, is implicated to have a golden pistol is arrested. And see, this guy was...
Those are the reasons these people voted the way they did. They feel they are left out. They feel these other people are getting so much power.
You know that cuts across.
That is becoming uncontrollable.
You know that cuts up across. Because I had claims of Bobi Wine going to where he launched his... The first time he launched his manifesto
in
Mbarara. He didn't talk about the dam that Museveni is promising to give to them that would generate more electricity for them and the neighboring districts, because Mbarara is becoming more an industrialized city.
Yes.
So these are the things that they need. And none was mentioned to them. So you cannot expect such people to vote here. Say, they also develop a thinking of, now this one is also going to go and focus more in Kampala. So this thing of one grabbing the powers and being the president and promoting nepotism and all that, tribalism, it is to the politicians themselves. Bobi Wine says it all, like, if I'm the president, you look at Mr. Update, Sir Girinya. By the way, I don't know about that man. Did he get married with this woman who was saying,
are you kidding me right now?
Helped him.
Yeah. Are you kidding me right now? Why are you looking into it? Where is the fair?
Mr. Update.
Okay, honorable.
So, no. I'm trying to show you a picture of a man that Bobi Wine used to say would be in the cabinet as the prime minister.
When you come through into leadership, you have running mates. You have running mates, and then these people have really pushed for your campaign and all that stuff. So when you win, yeah, these people get to take on the responsible roles of running a state with you. So on that side, on that note, you would be selfish, I think, if you won and then your running mates didn't exactly take up relevant positions in the cabinet. That's what happens everywhere.
Okay. Guys, let's wrap up the show. Your batting shots.
Well, I think we were excited. We enjoyed Bobi Wine and him coming to the campaign and everything. And he lost the election. He urged everyone to go and vote, and everyone probably did, because he won tremendously in some locations around Kampala and some other parts of the country. So I'm urging everyone to stay calm, stay put, and wait for the next 5 years. It's only 5 years. My prayer is that this time around, the constitution is not, tempered with.
No, actually, there's nothing more to amend. Nothing.
Those are 7 years.
No, I don't.
And remember now the
court ruled against that.
That would require a referendum, and we would massively vote against it. Yeah, I promise you that.
I pray.
It would be your parting shots.
Well, I'll close off the session with a. Of course, just like I say, I'm strong violence in the strongest terms.
We need to work. You have your logistics around.
You know, exactly. So basically, I condemn violence in the strongest terms. If it's true what it said, that these people are finishing the very last elective process, yes, to then begin their movement and all that, well, I don't know. I hope it isn't violent in any way. I hope it's strictly legal and non-violent. Then, for the government, man, you are detaining this Honorable Chagulanyi in his home all this time, and yet you say they don't have evidence to try and get a court case trying to annul the election, trying to annul
the results.
Yeah, the results from the just concluded elections is double standards for me. Again, if you believe the guy doesn't have believe these guys don't have evidence, let them do it as they please. You know, we have the courts. I mean, unless you yourselves don't believe in the courts we do have, but if you do believe in the courts of law we have, let the guys go gather the evidence before the 90 days run out. Let them try to get a court case, and then if you believe they don't have evidence, they will not win. Unless they really do, and then you're trying to sabotage their plans. Now, otherwise, man, this is weird. You know, let the guy run. I mean, none of this is good, man. So basically, in brief, man, let the guy go, and prepare for a court hearing, because it says he believes
a
that...
moment of silence to those police officers who are tear gas.
Actually, I also want to conclude the show by saying, by urging the government to free Bobi Wine. I mean, you know, he doesn't have the evidence, so why incarcerate him? And the other is free up the internet. And from us today, thanks for listening in.
Adios.
Adios.